citizens' comments.
You're here for a couple items.
Minutes for corrections / approval for December 19th, 2023.
I'm good.
Rusty?
I'm good.
Okay. Rugesh? New business. Item number one, PW 2024-01, snow operations report.
Yeah, let's just be an oral update tonight. We're still collecting the data from the salt trucks to get you the full picture. We actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were out all 3 days with full crew for the most part until Sunday, which was just the big trucks. We spent over 400 man hours so far just for this storm, and we are down 4 trucks. It was 2, but then 2 went down again today, so we're putting them back together as best we can in anticipation of, what is it, Thursday, possible snow? So hopefully we'll have everything back up and running by then, but I will have a full written report for next month's meeting.
4 trucks that are down are big trucks?
All big trucks.
Out of the 9 or 10 that we
all
have?
All the 9.
Were they down for major stuff or
minor? Cylinders, hydraulic hoses. We have a mystery gremlin that in the electrical system somewhere won't start. So a little bit of everything. We're tearing them apart and looking at them.
The hydraulic hoses and cylinders are functions of the actual plow apparatus?
Correct. 2 angle cylinders, so we can't turn the plow, and it leaks. It literally blew the cylinders out. And then the hose is the main hose for the spreader, so it goes from all the way in the front of the truck to all the way in back of the truck along the frame rail.
Some of that will be helped in the future if we have our vehicles under garage. But
correct. Under garage and not quite as old. Yeah, these are, they're
sounds
weird.
Like it might be an age thing too.
Yes. Oh yeah, some of it definitely is. When you're putting that kind of pressure and in that kind of temperature when on a hose that old, that will happen. It's just not easy to get them made. Luckily, we do have 2 tech hoses right in the industrial park up north, so they've been very good to us. At a new place, a new mechanic shop down where Illinois Truck Maintenance was, he's actually given us priority, and he has a mobile unit, so whenever we need him, he'll be there. He's been really good.
Yeah, he's pretty well packed in here.
Always.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff in that.
So we were going into the season with 9 functional trucks and 4 down?
Ish.
Functional.
Ish. We have one that we actually had to replace the whole wiring harness on. It just went. Just went. So we got that all fixed and we had it up and running, and that's one with the gremlins with the starting issue now. Mm. So we're working through it.
Right.
We go Friday to see our 2 new trucks for the final pre-build out in Indiana. So they're getting closer. Both trucks are here. We're just waiting to get them built.
What's the ETN though? ETA?
March.
A little late for this. 2 years out? Or?
Yeah, this is the one of them is the Peterbilt, 3 years, and then the other's 2. That's all I have on that one.
Okay. Item 2, PW 2024-02, capital improvement projects update.
All right, typical quarterly report within your packet. Did not have anything specific to note other than tonight you'll see a project, but there are several projects coming forth from a letting perspective, and you'll see several contracts over the next couple months. Contract B for water main replacements for this upcoming year. Will be later on the agenda, but if there's other questions, certainly willing to take them.
Good. Is PZE been doing those?
They did bid on this one, yes. They were not the low bidder.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Rustic?
I got nothing.
Okay. There's no nothing to do with that, right? It's just information.
Yeah.
Correct. All right, item 3, PW 2024-03, quarterly bond and letter of credit reduction summary.
Yeah, another typical report you see every quarter. There was quite a bit of activity in 2023, so this just summarizes all that action, and be happy to address. address any questions that anybody may have.
Okay. And that is informational as well. Item 4, PW2024-04, Grain Reserve Unit 12, acceptance.
All right. Well, 12, 15, and 22, they're all the same. If I could just comment on all three. Mm-hmm. So basically, all punch list work has been completed. So we are at that point to consider acceptance. All the sidewalk has also been completed. So along with the recommended acceptance of all three units, they're all in the same general area. We are recommending letter of credit reductions as well, or bond reductions, excuse me. So be happy to address any questions on this unit and or on the other units.
Yeah, if we can take, if there's any questions on any of three. So this is the 1 year warranty period takes off on this then?
Correct, it initiates it and then, yeah, 1 year period.
These can go on probably consent, right?
Yes.
Good?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. A few more next month.
Okay. I think we're caught up with the Grand Reserve ones, so yes. I think we're on hold for a while.
All right. Okay, so those go to consent. Items, we'll just go right to item 7 then. PW2024-07, New Leaf Energy Plat of Dedication and Grant Easement.
All right, City Council approved the annexation and rezoning last spring for this particular project. They have begun to prepare and submit their site plan, engineering plans. And along with that, there is some dedicated right-of-way that's needed along Beecher, as well as some internal easements that are to be dedicated to the city. So we have reviewed those, went back and forth with the developer a little bit. They are in good shape right now, so we are recommending moving forward with acceptance of these documents.
Good. Okay. That one can probably go on consent as well, probably. Right, guys?
Good with that.
All right. Item 8, PW2024-08, 2024 Road to Better Roads. MFT resolution and cost estimates.
All right, we bring this forward annually as we're moving through and getting the road program accepted through IDOT. So we have submitted to IDOT to get their initial comments. This is a requirement that is necessary for them to approve and allow us to go out to bid. So it's a resolution and a cost estimate that has to be approved and signed by the city. But it is consistent with the city in what they want to budget, which is $1 million, so that's consistent with what's been directed. So we are recommending approval of both at this time.
So in the past we've talked about more. When does that happen if we decided that's what we want to do? Budget proposal time. Okay, definitely a couple months.
Perfect.
Hopefully next month. Let's see. Great.
Good.
So what about this one, guys? Consent, or is it, should it be?
It's an IDOT paperwork that you have for the consent.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Item 9, PW2024-09, North Central Tank Rehab, change order number 3, final balance.
Yeah, final balancing change order for the tank project, the tank rehab project. It turned out well. So it is a decrease, which is always good, almost $40,000. So certainly recommending approval of this change order.
Good.
Good.
That can probably go on consent too. Item 10, PW2024-10, 2024 Water Main Replacement Contract, B Fox Industrial Park Contract Award.
Yeah, I referenced this a few minutes ago, so this is the first of many water main projects that you'll see coming in front of you this year. So just the way we named them, Contract B is ahead of Contract A at the moment as far as letting schedule. This does replace the water main within Fox Industrial Park, which is 6,000 feet or greater. So a substantial amount of water main to be replaced, very high break area. Eric has seen that over the years. We've documented that. Definitely needs to be replaced. 10 bidders, so very high number of bidders in this particular case. Just a project of getting it out early, which was good. The low bidder is Windsor. They won a contract last year, did a very good job for us. It's in their backyard. Glad to see that they
trouble
were
getting their equipment there.
So we are certainly recommending award to Windsor in the amount of a little bit over $2.7 million. Be happy to address any questions that you might have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I'm good too. I think I'll put this on regular agenda probably just because it's better than me.
You probably should read one to the city council.
Yeah, that's good. <cool. laughs> Because I know John will read it anyhow. Item 11, PW 2024-11-2024, water main replacement contract B, Box Industrial Park, construction engineering agreement.
This is EEI's agreement to coordinate all the work we just talked about. It is an estimate of cost, $235,234. It is in the budget. We do recommend approval for the whole coterminous with our project.
Good. Put that on the regular agenda too, since I feel like those need to be. Item 12, PW 2024-12, Yorkville Public Works Building Architect Contact with Luber Corporation.
I'm going to take the next two together.
Okay.
Because this really is what we need to approve for the next phase of our public works facility planning with the intent to go towards construction. So if you remember when we did this building with Corrigan, we basically did some space needs planning and then we moved in, we called it like phase 2 through 6 according to the architectural contract guidelines, which is everything from detailed design through bidding, and then construction administration. So this is the same thing. Takes us forward through the next phase, which is going to involve some more detailed drawings, what the building is going to look like, how it's actually going to be laid out, how big it's going to be. The decision will need to be made, how much we want to spend on it in general before we look at bidding it out, hiring a construction manager, which is what we're recommending this time around. And then proceeding forward to construction. So this contract does contemplate kind of 2024 planning design process for bidding with a hopeful date of July of 2025 is listed in there as kind of a completion date. A lot of things have to fall into place between now and then, including a favorable bidding climate. So that may end up being pushed because the economics of what's going on. So a lot of decisions there to be made. But in general, we've got two contracts. So one is with Kluber. We've got Chris Hansen, Jeff Bruns from Kluber here to answer questions if you have any. And then EEI's contract. So EEI, similar to this building, is going to be doing some of the design work and the construction administration for the exterior of the building, utilities, site work, stormwater, regulatory issues, etc. And then Kluber will be the main design firm working on the overall project, and then obviously specifically the building shell inside of it. So probably easiest to start with the EEI contract. It's relatively straightforward in that regard. There's two phases, one is preliminary engineering, which is going to be everything up to, putting shovels in the ground in general. That's $76,221. It involves everything from budget tracking, coordination, project meetings, topography and boundary surveys, map creation, Julie coordination, preliminary engineering plans, assisting with the design that Kluber is going to do for the material storage bins, gas station, the preliminary stormwater report, the engineer's estimate of probable construction costs for the exterior items, preliminary plans, submittals, soil borings, preliminary landscape plans, etc. And then the final engineering is an estimate of $107,000 for almost all those same things and a lot of the final paperwork associated with those plans. So again, the concept is that Kluber has actually worked out with EEI ahead of time to kind of divvy up that work. And so we're kind of utilizing EEI in a hybrid role. We were comfortable with that. We reviewed that. So they're going to be working directly with Kluver, basically, to work on the items that are exterior to the building. So interior to the building, and I'm going to do this on the fly, and I apologize. This is not in memo. It's been a busy few days, obviously. And certainly correct me where I'm wrong. But it's going to take us all the way through schematic design, which is our next level, which is going to deal with a lot of the things that everybody's going to care about. Building looks like. We talked about condensing the building so that it's more of a rectangular footprint and is easier to expand, maybe a little bit more plain to save money on the exterior, etc. Making the decisions about, do we want to build on the full garage for, future growth, or do we want to scale it back? So those types of things. Before moving into the design development, which is all the details of the plans, construction documents, procurement, and the construction management systems. So, and again, this next phase, so what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3, 4 months, depending on how soon we hire a construction manager, assuming, of course, that you accept that recommendation, is where we're going to have the conversation about what's the building look like, how much are we going to spend on it, et cetera. So that's kind of the next thing. So again, if everything goes smoothly, it would be September 2024, kind of with start of construction, exterior of the building with site development, before mid-2025, if everything lines up correctly. So the fee for Kluver that they've proposed, and that we're comfortable with recommending, with one caveat, which I'll explain here in a second, is $1.362 million, $400 extra, but there is a credit in there of $17,600 for work that we actually did in the last space needs analysis phase. So they were able to utilize some work that we had already paid for when we were doing different versions of the building. So that's going to come off that number. And so again, that's on like a $20 to $22 million estimate of like construction type value. So the caveat being the mayor asked me to go over the fee with Pete one final time before you guys approve it. And I'm scheduled to talk to him tomorrow about that. So I don't anticipate there's going to be an issue with it. Jeff and I had a bit of a conversation a week ago, just going over different standards for fees for state, local, federal projects, private projects. So I'm comfortable with where we're at right now, which is right between 6.2 and 6.8% of the total project. One thing that's different from the Cordigan contract we had approved is this is a fixed fee. So if we approve change orders or reduce or increase scope of the building and budget, their fee is going to be the same in general. As long as we don't change the scope that's itemized in there, that fee should be locked in. Whereas the Cordigan one, because everything was kind of up in the air, and it was a different project too, was variable, so it's percentage based. So we increased the budget because we had more funds at the end of it, so Cordigan got paid a little bit more money for the overall project. Amount of work that they probably had to do during that was probably not reflective of where that percentage was. But that was a choice we made, and so we lived with it. So this entire contract is actually based on an assumption that we're going to go out for a construction manager. So in general, that's going to be hiring a team of experts that are going to be responsible for actually managing all the construction, bidding documents, all the day-to-day stuff that. When we had this building, we had Steve Rash, who was our facilities manager, spend an inordinate amount of time in the building, and obviously it was a much more limited project, basically a gut rehab with some minor exterior projects, and it ran him ragged. He did a good job, but he was definitely pushing hours towards the end of our Oswego Yorkville arrangement there. So we're not going to be able to do that here. Too big of a project. They're going to need multiple people, basically, with different expertise. Do that, and so we are proposing to hire a construction manager. So Kluver will be our design, architects, and then basically our architects through the procurement construction process, and then this construction manager will be somebody we hire to do it, and they're going to be generally at risk, most likely, to do the project. So that's going to be where we work with our construction manager after we hire them, basically to set guaranteed maximum prices so that the construction manager will come in and say, this building could be built based on your design for $22 million, after we've bid it out. And so we're basically going to hold that price. And if there's any savings left over, we have to make decisions as to how we want to split that up. So the construction manager will also hire the subcontractors in general, hold those contracts, do that contract administration, and then Kluber kind of reviews everything for us as our advocate with that, and then produces the entire thing. So the actual construction management process is city council decision. So we have to hire a large construction company. Kluber's worked with a few. They're going to give us a list. Pete's got a few. Eric's got a few from other projects. I've got a few. Basically, we would, assuming we're ready to move forward with all this, we move forward with this contract, we would produce an RFP document that would be put out. We definitely direct send it to some construction management firms. These are going to be the big construction managers in Chicagoland. Do some direct interviews, probably, with them to see who we're most comfortable with. Kluber would actually sit on our kind of selection or recommendation committee that would produce an actual recommendation for a firm for the city council to approve, and then you guys would have to vote to approve it. So it's not an RFQ-based process like an engineer or an architect, but it is similar in that we need to interview people in depth, get comfortable with the projects they've done, how they manage things, take references, etc. So, assuming we're good with the Kluber contract as it's drafted, and we choose to move forward with that, we would immediately then move forward into the construction manager selection phase two, so February, March probably, trying to get that person and that firm on board here in the next few months. I think that's everything that I wanted to cover. Is there anything I missed or anything you wanted to expand on?
Well, I think that's a pretty good description, and as it relates to the construction manager process, we talked about this at quite great length. There's definitely some advantages going that route, and it's really you have the opportunity to interview the team that's going to be doing the day-to-days in bidding the work and also managing the actual construction, as well as, if you wish, reporting to the board on a monthly basis progress of the work. That way, you have the opportunity as a team to be able to interview those folks that are going to be there day to day to make sure that personalities mesh with your needs. The contract format is what you're looking for. And more importantly, we can all work together as a team to go that route. Generally, we find the best time to do that RFQ process, as Bart alluded to, right about at the point when we're done with schematic design and the EEI Kluber team have a first pass at looking at a refined budget, because we use that information to fold into the RFQ. And the reason that's important is because every construction manager, first thing they're going to ask is, how big is it, how many square feet, how much site development, how many utility things are we doing, so on and so forth. So being able to have that information at the end of schematic design just lets the entire world know exactly what we're up against in terms of the overall scope and magnitude of the project. So when they put their teams together, they're really refining their team based on that project parameters and size. And we're doing quite a bit of public works projects right now. And we're up for Hampshire's on Thursday night as well, which looks like that's going to go potentially, well, that is going to go construction management because it's already under contract, or it will be on Thursday. So this is kind of the typical way we see things going, and the primary reason is, as opposed to doing a general contract for construction, where you don't know who you're going to get for your low bidder. Sometimes they don't have everything, and it's a difficult process. This way, we'll know who our construction management team is, and then we will be asking them to go out and get no less than 3 to 4 public bids for every package that they're going to have to manage. So it will still be a competitive bid process with all the subcontractors folded into one nice contract with dealing with only one pay request each month as opposed to multiples, which is, I'm sure, what you may have done with this one. I'm not sure how Steve ran it, but it'll streamline the process, and it'll hold them accountable as well for the timeline as well as the constructability. And as it relates to our contract, then we'll be involved on the day-to-days for the construction administration, owner advocates, as Bart said, making sure that the design intent that the owner wishes to be constructed is being built in accordance with our plans and specifications EEI will be doing obviously the same thing during construction on their end for the site development work. So pretty typical process, and we actually appreciate the opportunity to also be involved in that selection process, because after all, we all have to work together with whoever that is that's going to be selected eventually when that moves forward. But putting the cart before the horse, I think right now is let's just refine what the building is all about with a new budget and refine the floor plan. I think that's all we're asking to do at this stage. But then hopefully we can move that forward once the budgets are refined and the council's comfortable, obviously, with where we're at.
So if you approve this contract, or you at least let us know that we're ready to move forward with it, the next kind of two steps that you'll have to approve after that are going to be construction manager approval. And that's going to be after the you know, the RFP process, and then a recommendation from staff. And then kind of a sign-off on the actual design and budget for the building. So that would be, you know, here's what we've designed based on your feedback. Does this look good? Yes, great. Okay, we've got a construction manager. And then we move forward to start doing bidding documents and making those types of decisions. So while this contract covers everything from today to turnkey and open, you know, it does contemplate that you're going to have to make decisions along the way. You can pause it. Like I said, we may stop for a few months because of the bidding climate in general. So it's not an absolute commitment to say the building is going to be $30 million or $20 million, and here's what it's going to look like. It's, we need these guys on our team. We need the construction manager next after that in order to be able to produce that picture and that scope for you so that you can make the decision so we can move forward.
I guess I'll go first. So EEI's fees, it was 107 total, right? Or is that... I want to make sure I'm understanding this.
76 plus 107 and change. So preliminary engineering is 76, final is 100.
I just want to make sure that wasn't the total number. Okay, and then the architect is 1.3 million, and that's assuming it's 20 to 22 million. If the cost goes up or down, their fee, no, it won't.
Stays.
So if it was 15 million, their fee stays the same. If it was 30 million,
correct,
their fee doesn't change. Correct. Even though, yeah, I knew this amount, where it was at. Okay.
Yep.
And then what would a ballpark number be? I mean, I'm not going to hold you to it, but for a construction manager, what are we thinking?
You know, I don't even know. Is it usually a percentage of the project, or is it?
It can be, but that's all negotiated, just like you would do with our contract. But typically, there's two pieces of the puzzle. One is what's called pre-construction services. Pre-construction services is once we get past schematic design and they're on board, the point by which we produce as a team with EEI, the design development drawings and the construction drawings, getting us ready to bid, their pre-construction services, we will be asking them to update budgets at design development as well as construction drawings. Usually we have them do it at 50% construction drawings, so that way they can inform the council where we're at each phase of the project, if we need to make any adjustments. And so that's pre-construction services. Most of the time, we see them just do that on a lump sum fee basis. That's pretty typical. And then what's usually happening is it's a percentage of construction on the backside. But because if you ask them to go guaranteed maximum price at risk, depending on the terms, usually they lump that into a lump sum based on some sort of fee structure. But keep in mind, if you do a guaranteed maximum price at risk, they will be putting in allowance money as well as contingency money into that contract. And then the piece that you had alluded to earlier, Bart, which is going to be imperative that we get this right, is what happens with the unused contingency and allowance money. Typically, allowances are set aside for the construction manager to use however he wishes, because he's got to deliver on a guaranteed maximum price. The way he spends that, you don't necessarily have to authorize those dollars. But the contingency dollars that are owner contingency dollars that are also potentially in his contract, those then are the ones that would need formal approval, which still might be underneath the guaranteed maximum price. But what we typically see is some municipalities will do Any unused contingencies or allowances will come back to us at 100%, or other municipalities have said we'll agree to like an 80-20 split, where 80% comes back, 20% goes to the contractor. And sometimes when they do that, they also couple that in with, well, if we get done a little bit earlier, then that unused 20% comes back because we got done faster. And there is some value to that as well. That's pretty typical of most highway projects anyway. Especially bigger IDOT projects will have those. But what we typically see is almost all our clients say just whatever's unused comes back 100% to us. And we would just let them know as part of that negotiation or actually in the RFQ what some of those terms would be, because that will cut out a majority of the questions. Typically that's on the contingency side, 100% comes back of whatever's not used of your dollars. The allowance dollars are the ones that are the tricky ones, but that would need to be negotiated. You have to give them some latitude to spend those dollars to make sure that they're underneath the GMP. The council needs to be comfortable with it. The GMP is the number. So even if they come in $3 million under the GMP, because we have really good competitive bids, they still have that $3 million to play with.
Yes.
You follow me?
Good.
To hit that mark. So
there's an element of budgeting and management that we have to review and go over, because it deals with how you approve change orders versus like an allowance for this project was our logo that goes up behind the dais. We had a $25,000 allowance for that, and the metal that we got up there was $2,000. So there's things like that doesn't require city council approval. So if you had to guess just based on this
just
project,
some
couple hundred
worst
thousand
case
dollars
scenario. Give me the worst case scenario.
Probably and then 2-4% for the construction part of it, maybe.
You're gonna see probably between 3.5% and 5% on the high end,
okay,
plus pre-construction services. And then, of course, within those numbers, they're going to have all their general conditions, which are going to be direct expenses, which are your superintendent sitting in a trailer, project managers are all on top of that.
Sure.
So basically, their profit is going to be somewhere between 3-4.5%, somewhere
okay,
probably in there.
And when we did our cost estimates a few months ago, that would have included, you know, some sort of grab number for those estimates. So those aren't new dollars per se. They're all included within the previous estimates we've given you.
Yes, they have been.
So like the thirty million and the 20,
5% of 20 million, that could be the number that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Worst case?
You said on the high end.
Yeah, plus whatever general conditions expenses for daily operations, yes.
That number is
site fencing, those
yeah,
things. It depends. It's usually another
four
percentage
bodies
of the
yeah,
project, but those dollars were already accounted for in our original budget. And our goal, so everyone here knows, is we are trying to see if we can bring this from $22 million, which was the original budget range, to about 20 or slightly under that as part of this phase. We're going to look to see if we can get about $2 million out of this original budget just by compacting the building a little bit more and doing a simplified design. And I think there's some money available there. And the cost per square foot numbers I gave you right now are still holding pretty doggone close based on what we're seeing with the current market. And I will say there is some favorable numbers right now. Again, our target would be to bid this thing in August and school work is finishing up. Try to break ground September, early October. It would be, in my opinion, that's now the second hot time of the year to bid. Because a lot of the product can get ordered while foundations and earthworks being done at late year, and it might sit a little bit in the winter, but then all the precast and those types of things, Eco Precast, which is probably the plan, would be available immediately in the spring to go up, and then shell build out goes pretty quick once we're up in the shell.
Couple more then. So these fees, the salaries fees here, when we come, are they in are you assuming them into the 20 to 22 million, or are these on top of that number?
Which ones are all
of them that we just talked about. The cost estimates that you would have saw months ago would have had line items that included these fees, architect fees.
So if we said 20 million, that's including their fees.
The construction fees. CM.
Yeah, or is that on top of the 20 million?
That's my question. Estimates that you saw that were between 20 and 30 million, depending on the building, would have included all of these fees.
Okay. Yeah, it would have been
okay.
All in.
All right, that's why I just wanted to make sure that...
Yeah, I mean, they made assumptions on furniture, they made assumptions on architect fees, engineering fees, you know, whether they're accurate according to what we decide to do down the road and market conditions, different story, but yeah, it's planned in there from a cost estimate perspective. So none of these are like new costs where we're saying we need a budget estimate or we need to throw them on top of the previously communicated.
Yeah, I just was curious, is that... part of the total package, or are these the total package plus these fees? That's what I was wondering.
Those fees would be within that.
In that money. Okay, so we said 20 million.
Yeah, and the ultimate answer is they are whatever you make them. So if you say $10 million is our budget, the building is a quarter of the size of what we talked about, that is what it is. So.
Okay, I just wanted to know how they fell in, if they were on top or if they were involved in it. Was anybody else? I'm sure it's.
I mean, you had a lot of questions. Now, and some of them answer already. We alluded to, you know, what was some of the city council feedback for the design? It was to become more rectangular, smaller footprint, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
This is the time frame we talked about. Would you say about 18 to 24 months from essentially this talk?
And just so this team knows, all design fees in budgeted was between 1.78 and 1.898 million of the 22 plus million total.
So that would be the EEI contract and then the Kluber contract.
Yeah. And we're actually under those numbers right now.
I don't have anything for you guys, but for Eric, as this project kind of evolves, can you just have your guys kind of be hip to any changes?
Absolutely.
Relay any feedback that they may have?
Absolutely. We'll do.
I think you're going to ask if you have any trucks left to put the building there.
Hopefully by then we will.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, and we're more than happy, as we have in the past, to come to committee or council each month if you want us to do a quick update report. Or we have no issues doing that. We'd be happy to do that.
Appreciate it.
So on to that point then. So going out of this committee, are you going to have a general discussion at the council level two then with the other four aldermen?
Yeah, it's
before
my hope.
Before you try to vote on something?
I'm 0-1 on that hope so far, is to put this in writing. That way it's in a packet. But if not, it would be kind of the same information I was presenting today. So.
Yeah, I really think all eight should be on board before we vote on anything.
For sure.
I don't know how you guys feel.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Again, I want to stress what Rusty said. As a blue-collar guy who just had a new shop built that's actually too small and not functional, need input for the guys that actually work on it.
Sure.
Can't stress it enough.
Understood.
Yeah, I think up to this point, we've pretty much met with every single user on multiple occasions in every department. So I'm confident that we'll easily be meeting with all of them again as we refine the plan. But your point is well taken.
Thank you.
So
that was that.
Well, come on.
That's a no-brainer. Are you comfortable with moving it out of committee?
I think we can move it out of committee.
Okay.
As long as the full council has an opportunity to before we try to vote on something or like that. Because there might be I'm almost willing to bet there will be a few questions.
And then
probably you guys should be at that meeting too for those people that might have questions. So,
still
all right,
out.
Yeah,
still falling out.
I'm okay with it going to council next, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
Thank you. If you guys have any other questions between that now and then, either get to Bart with them, or it'd be nice maybe if they had them
before the meeting, so it's not like thrown on them at the last second. I mean, that just makes it work easier. So sometimes it's better that way. Yep, that's all I would add to that. Okay, I have any old business, any additional business?
Thanks to your guys for getting out.
Yeah, I will relay
all,
that.
They all feeling okay, getting proper rest?
Sort of. They'll feel better when they get their checks on Friday.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so far, if this is the only storm, great. How much salt did you just did
about
you dang
about 400 it? Tons we've used. So we've still got up to 1,600 left.
Somebody in my work was asking me, what happens if you don't use it?
We have to take 80% no matter what.
So what would you do with it?
Store it. Just put it in the material storage bins and keep it as dry as we can. We had a whole bin left over. We had 150 tons left over from last year.
Last year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I brought some space in your garage.
It's a little corrosive.
Additional structure and a lot.
And the new building is a 3,000 ton or 4,000 ton, I can't remember. One of those two.
I think we went 3.
3,000 ton salt dome. So that'll be able to hold over a whole year, so we'll be able to have something reserved.
What size is that compared to like what the county has over by?
The county's, I think, is 2,500 tons.
So we've got 1,000 in there?
Yeah, we've got 1,000 in there. And we'll keep that. It's $250 a year now is all to keep that.
That's a perfect example, though, of what we've already started talking about is what's the value of right-sizing that? What's the delivery look like when you have the demand? Can we go smaller to save a few dollars? You know, those are all the types of things we'll explore in schematic design to make sure we're all on the same page.
So down the road, let's say you built one in a you know, after 10 years, you say, wow, this is probably built too small. Is that easy to add that later on?
No, you would build another one, a second one.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you could add a whole second. You wouldn't ever increase that size. That one would stay.
Would you have it on that ability to build on that property? There's enough property to build a second one if
yes,
down the road.
Sir.
If,
yep. Okay, and at 3,000 tons, even if you have to reorder salt halfway through the year, that'll last you quite a long time, quite a few years. Till we get over, till that's way too small. Right now we can store 600.
So that's good to know, because I don't know if you guys realized it, did
you? Yeah. Well, and the good news is, I think I reported to you all last time that there were only two major salt dome constructors for the Midwest. One of them went out of business, so you're dealing with one. Yeah. The other one reorganized and is back.
Oh, good.
So
a little competition.
We have two competing against each other again locally. So that's a good thing.
That's a good
thing. Just happened. Yeah, that just happened literally in the last couple of weeks. And the company that purchased, I think it was Bulk Storage, it went under, is a very large national company. So there's going to be some stability there now. So we should always have two to keep things competitive. But that's the market it's to. One company or the other.
That's a case of media insurance.
Thank you.